Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Even though we didn't get what we wanted, we all had the same mindset. You know, we all knew what the goal was. We all knew what the objective was, and we was working towards that. And even though the cars didn't fall our way, I feel like we can run it back. I'm definitely excited to hear the coaches come back. Hopefully we get as many players we can get to come back as we can so we can build from this and not start over, but just start from now and build and just get better.
Buffalo Bills right guard Osiris Torrence there, and I think he's going to get a lot of his wish. The Bills don't have a ton of cap space. Greg Thompson at Cover One, saw that was reported yesterday, $25 million what he was seeing for the Bills in terms of cap space this year. They've also got a lot of guys they're going to have to re-sign. Osiris Torrence brought that up, but I think a key, you know, not addition, but just retaining him, Joe Brady is going to come back as OC. We knew that before the AFC Championship game. One thing I do want to rectify, my bad on the Mari Schottenheimer stuff. Did make it to three AFC Championships, and I believe it's 21-year coaching or head coaching career, although does still stand a reason. He went 5-13 in the playoffs for much of his career, really lost all the time in wild card games, including having a very talented San Diego team in his later career, losing a wild card game, then losing the divisional round as well to go 0-2 with San Diego. But for more on the Bills, what we heard yesterday in Locker Cleanout Day, and also just really now the season as a whole, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how we doing?
All right, guys, you know, just another day of kind of reflecting back and watching some things from Sunday, and then obviously talking with players yesterday in the locker room.
Yeah, so on yesterday, I mean, we saw a lot of quotes. Some of the key stuff was brought up. We kind of know that Kincaid was dealing with an injury for much of the year, or for at least a portion of the year. I believe it was a torn PCL. We also heard, as we heard an Osiris Torrence clip there, but he mentioned, too, talking about the blitz that Kansas City brought and just, you know, kind of it was a great play designed by Spags. What else did you hear, though, yesterday from all the players? I mean, Allen spoke for, I think, almost 20 minutes.
Yeah, there was a few things. We had about, I think there's a good 10 to 12 players people can go listen to back at the WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. You know, Josh obviously talked and you know, the disappointment in it, but the belief still going forward. I think that was a common theme. Like, you know, everybody understands that you climb the mountain and you get near the top. And then when you lose, you have to go all the way back down. But guess what you have to do? You have to climb the mountain again. I mean, that's really just what it comes down to. And they all recognize that the team will change. It does every year. You're not going to play with the exact same 53, 60 guys, whatever it is, who come and go throughout the season. You know, and that's tough for everyone. At the same time, guys are dealing with some contract situations. Reed Ferguson is scheduled to become a free agent. He's the longest tenured Bill. You know, I know he spoke very much about wanting to be in Buffalo. I don't know if the Bills want to go out and get a new long snapper. He's not like he's super old and he can't do it anymore. That's one guy there. Von Miller is under contract, but he has a $23 million cap hit. He said he's playing next year. He said, I'm going to be a Buffalo Bill. I'm coming back and playing. He said, I don't want to speak to the organization, but I think they want me back too. It was asked about restructuring his contract, possibly to make that happen. He opened the door to that. He said, there's always things you can do to make things work. Osiris Torrence was very good on explaining what happened on the fourth down and five, the final Bills offensive final play of the season where Josh lofted it up and Dalton Kincaid couldn't come down with it. And, you know, it explained that, you know, their defense had generally been blitzing from the side they do not show. So the Bills slid that way, but they came from the side they were showing. Good call by Steve Spagnuolo, obviously. There's just a lot of things that, you know, we talk with a lot of people about. And then we're going to hear from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at some point this week. We don't have the official schedule yet. Not sure if it'll be together or probably separate, or if it's going to be the same day or a different day.
Sal, the one thing that I noticed yesterday, specifically with Allen, was the way he talked about the season Dalton Kincaid had. And the quote that stood out to me was, quote, I've got to be better for him. I didn't feel like I put him in a good enough situations this year, ball placement-wise. That's kind of interesting to me because Kincaid, like, we've talked about it a lot here, barring the last play of the game, this season for Kincaid has been a little bit of an up and down season. He's had a little bit of a sophomore slump, if you want to call it that. But it's interesting to see that Allen kind of puts some insight in there and saying that he could have been better. And I just, what do you think about that? Like, do you think it is a little bit of both, or do you think, you know, it's kind of maybe Kincaid has to work on some stuff in the offseason? More so than Allen has
to work
on both.
Well, listen, I think it's all of that, right? Look, Josh is going to take. Josh is a leader. He's the quarterback. And everything we've known about Josh Allen, he's going to take accountability. Josh Allen could throw a guy a perfect pass, hit him in the hands. Guy drops it. Josh is going to say, I got to put it in a better spot. It's just the way he's going to be.
Right,
he's always
right.
going to talk about that. I think the overall issue here, though, the question you're asking is more about the overall chemistry between Josh and Dalton Kincaid this year. And I thought Dalton Kincaid would be a huge part of this offense. What we're seeing from what Brock Bowers did in Vegas, what we've seen from what Sam Laporta is doing, I mean, even an older Zach Ertz in Washington with a rookie quarterback. I mean, there's just ways that teams are using their really athletic mismatched tight end, which we were told Dalton Kincaid is, that the Bills aren't doing. And they need to find a way to do that next year. I get the everybody eats mentality. That's great. But if you're going to draft a tight end in the first round 2 years later, I think, you know, you need to say, like, why did we draft him? Because he's a mismatch here and he can do that. Now, that said, according to Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid had a torn PCL at some point this year and also had, I think, something going on fluid or something build up in the other knee. So very well could have been part of the reason for, you know, maybe everything didn't hit. And if those things happen early in the year, if they happen in training camp, if they happen within the first couple of weeks, it's tough to recover because by the time you get in the season, you're game planning every week. You don't have the time on task to be able to, like you do in training camp. So I think that it's a very big offseason for Dalton Kincaid going into year three. If you guys look back historically under Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott team since they've been here, year three has been a critical year for a lot of people to make jumps. That's Greg Rousseau. That's Taron Johnson. That's Khalil Shakir. Like year three, Gabe Davis. I think he did some things his first 2 years. But like that year three is always a very critical year in a Bills developmental system, I guess, if you will. And I think this is a big offseason and next year is a big year for Dalton Kincaid.
So, Sal, now looking to the offseason, you know, as far as this team got, they get to the AFC Championship, they had a historically good offense, very efficient, but there does seem to be some pretty clear needs for the Bills. Where, just if right off the top, two days into the offseason, where do you think is maybe the biggest need for the Bills heading into both free agency and the draft?
I think I could come up with three of them, and I think you can prioritize them either any way, but I'm not sure how you want to. You know, however you want to do it. I think they have to address their boundary corner position in some way because Christian Benford's the only guy you have coming back that you can really rely on to say he's really good. What do you have outside of him? Because Rasul Douglas did not have a fantastic year. And I think you could go into the next season with Rasul Douglas. I think I'd be okay with that, but I'd still be very kind of a little weary of what happens. You know, what if he doesn't ever get back to, or what if he has another down year as he starts to get older? Because what we saw after Benford went out is just not good enough. Kyrie Elam is not playing at an NFL level, and the Bills are using him. I love Jamarcus Ingram. I think Jamarcus Ingram deserves a shot. He could wind up being the starter there. But if you go into next year, and I told you right now Jamarcus Ingram's the starter, I think people would say, ooh, you got to do better than that because we haven't seen him actually have that role, and he'd have to step up. It'd be a big spot for him. I think they have to address something in the interior to help stop the run. They were better as the season went on, but they run such a penetrating system. Ed Oliver's a little bit undersized. Daquan Jones had a good year, not a really strong year like he did maybe last year. I think that's got to be something. I actually have four spots. And of course, pass rush, right? I mean, these are all on the defensive side. I think the only spot I'm really comfortable with right now on the defense is linebacker and maybe safety, knowing that Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp will be together, right? I think that I'm feeling pretty good about Rapp and Bishop together after what I saw from Bishop. And like, I think the middle of the field is okay. You know, in the back six, whatever, three, four, five, six, seven, whatever, and back seven. But I think the boundary. And then pass rusher, obviously, I think anytime you can upgrade, get a really stud pass rusher is a great time. And I think they have to address wide receiver again. I think it's a different conversation as last year where you traded Diggs, you let Gabe Davis go, and it was, oh my God, there's nobody. We've seen Josh Allen elevate pretty much anybody now, right? We know they can do that. I still think they need more though, guys, right? It's what they had this year when it came time to have critical plays in the biggest of games. We didn't know who they were going to come from, and there weren't enough guys there to be able to choose that one right guy to come to.
Sal, I do want to backtrack here real quick because the Bills just announced James Cook and Connor McGovern are heading to the Pro Bowl. They're serving as alternates for Derrick Henry and Creed Humphrey. But on James Cook, we had a few calls on hold we weren't able to get to, but both were mentioning why James Cook was not on the field to end the game on that Bills final drive. Do you have any insight on that or any thoughts kind of on that final drive? I know for me, not necessarily with Cook, I have been a little frustrated today seeing that there was 18 seconds left on the play clock before or when the Bills snapped the ball. It seemed like a lot of stuff the last on Sunday was rushed by the Bills. Maybe that's on Josh Allen, maybe that's on coaching, but it felt like there was a lot of stuff that was rushed that didn't necessarily need to be.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, even the poor third down spot, which led to the possibly poor fourth down spot. I mean, I want to frame it like I'm blaming it on the refs. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But the controversial spots, right, at the end with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Even then, once they had that spot on third down, you could make an argument, well, wait a minute. If you wait, maybe replay assist gives them the first down. Or maybe Sean McDermott challenges the spot. But they went right up to the line and ran the fourth down. They got stopped right there. It was bam, bam. I mean, the series is over right there, right? They rushed up there. 18 seconds left. Yeah, they could have waited. I think the reason for that would be, guys, they thought they knew it was coming, and they were wrong. So they snapped it when they snapped it, if that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, they look, Josh had two cadences there. He goes through his first cadence to see. What he does is he goes all that, to see if they start coming. He said he did not see anything. They didn't switch it up. So from there, I think you're comfortable. I don't think that another 18 seconds would have mattered in that situation, I guess, because if Josh does his first cadence and they don't change, then he's just going with, okay, this is what they're coming with. And what happened was they came from the opposite side, as we said. So, you know, credit the Chiefs for that one. And then as far as Cook not being on the field, I agree. We haven't heard from Joe Brady, but my guess is because they wanted to. Now, obviously, James Cook can catch the ball, but we know Ty Johnson's a very good pass catcher. What Ty Johnson does very well compared to James Cook is pass protect. My guess is they wanted to make sure they had an extra guy back there in order to pass protect, or at least to give the Chiefs the idea that the running back is pass protecting and then he could also go out for a pass. You know, that's just my guess. I would have liked to see James Cook as well on the field.
So where, like, looking at just Allen's play overall, where do you think that the kind of just hyperness came from? I mean, it seemed like it was a Josh Allen we hadn't seen all season. He was, and I don't want to rag at him too much, but like he was throwing balls in places that we hadn't seen him throw to in a long time. Like I just saw a highlight I was watching of him throwing to Keon Coleman with two guys on him down on the goal, or three guys on him down on the goal line. It's just like, where did those come from and why did they come out at the time they did, right? Like even when it was earlier in the game was still close and it wasn't, you know, high pressure situation. I guess not as high pressure as the end of the game, but it just felt like that was an Allen we hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, I think the beginning of the game, Josh is always kind of a little too amped up. You know, sometimes he's too amped up. Remember the beginning of the Ravens game, he overshoots Mac Hollins on a hole shot. He's wide open, right? Seems like right in that spot. Like a lot of times we've seen that. Josh gets a little too amped up, like in the beginning of a game. Remember when he used to say that he liked to get hit early in the game just so he can feel it and get into the game. And I think the adrenaline can be pumping. You're making decisions fast. You're trying to make a play. Not good passes those first two plays. Josh runs the ball first, and hey, they got him. Maybe he said, I want to get hit early in the game in this one. He got hit. He's into the game. And then they throw two passes, and both of them are off target. And I think the other stuff just goes to trying to make a play. I mean, it's the AFC Championship, and yeah, you'd like him to be settled down and just, you know, be super calm, but they were also, you know, they were coming at him and they were blitzing sometimes and there's pressure and there's a lot that's going on down there and things are moving very, very fast. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that he still had a good game overall. Not great. Still made some money passes when they counted, when they needed. Guys didn't help him with a couple drops here or there. So I think it just goes to the overall, you know, situation of the game and him trying to make a play because Josh Allen is trying to make a play.
All right, Sal, last thing for me, not on the Bills, but I like to have fun with this. One of my favorite things is introductory press conferences for head coaches because they either go one of two ways. They're amazing and everyone's hyped up, Aaron Glenn yesterday with the Jets, or we get memes out of them. Liam Cohen with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you see how he said Duvall?
Oh. I did not. Some things going on about it, but I have not paid attention or listened. What happened?
It was the most uninspiring, like, Like,
it's
Like, if you think of how people, like, when you're at a Jacksonville game, they get up and they get loud.
Duval.
Yeah, it was more it was more of a Duval. Like it was like, it was really weird.
Wow.
It was like high pitched and like almost like he was like scared to say it. Like, it was so weird.
Well, you're right. Press conferences can go a lot of different ways, and they don't really mean much, to be honest with you. I remember Nick Sirianni got completely roasted his first ever press conference.
Dan Campbell, same thing.
Dan Campbell, biting kneecaps, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You know, two of the better coaches now and better organizations this year, teams, you know, in the NFC at least. So, yeah, but obviously, you know, you can have some fun with that, I guess. And if they don't, or they aren't good, things don't turn out, then that'll become a thing again.
Yep. All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again soon, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Josh, it wasn't even just like how Duval. It was the eyebrow raise.
And the little head motion, too. Like, it was just weird. Like
I like Liam Cohen as a coach, but I'm like, man, don't do it. Just don't do it.
I just saw it. It was
it's crazy.
Embarrassing.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
But then you have Aaron Glenn where, yeah, by the end of it, I'm like, all right. I'm ready to run through a wall, and I hate the Jets.
He also, Aaron Glenn also, like, it sounds like he wants nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Every question he got asked about Aaron Rodgers, he's like, no, I'm not answering that. Like, it was, that part was interesting. Like, I wonder what's going to happen in New York. If he is, you know, how he sounded in his press conference, the Jets could, you know, start to turn things around maybe, but then again, they are still the Jets, and they are still going to make those questionable decisions.
Yeah, so. They feel like they're going to need to go through a full reset. I think Miami's getting towards there as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the funny part. Like, as frustrated as we all are at the end of this, I think the AFC East has never been more open to the Bills to just
The only team
win
you really,
it in 10 games.
The only team you really have to worry about realistically really, right now is eventually the New England Patriots, if they get everything right.
A lot of cap space.
If they get everything right.
Yep, a lot of cap space. They have to draft well. We've already kind of seen with Elliott Wolf. His first draft, not great.
Nope.
After Drake,
hey,
not great.
But you know what? He didn't draft a round three lineman in the first round, so it's fine.
Yeah, like, that's a fair point, actually. It is not a high bar to get over.
They are moving up. But again, they are the closest team, I think, but they're still like 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones, and Steve joins us next. Steve, how are we doing on this fine morning?
You know, like you guys said, it's a morning for sure.
I know. I tried to be more positive there, and it didn't feel right.
Yeah. You know, it was obviously a rough start for Allen, and I think just as a Bills fan, like, my own coping mechanism with it is, I just think I'm going to get this when Josh plays Miami, Josh, in these playoff games. And, you know, it's, I don't want to dog the coaches because they put him in a spot to go and drive and win these games. And it's just not happening. And, you know, this version of Josh Allen, I mean, he's going into the amen corner of his career with the physical freak that he is, where, you know, you can only expect him to be this beast for three more years. And even, you know, he didn't push through and get those short yardage downs that we thought. So, you know, does he start working out in the off season? Does he change himself a little bit to try and improve physically? But it just makes you know, I think he's going to get it. I just, you know, there's always that fear of what happened with Stafford and Detroit that kind of looms just a little bit harder, whereas, you know, is he just going to be so great here and then we're going to lose him and we're going to have this metaverse where we have split jerseys of Josh Allen when he's going to win in the Super Bowl with the 49ers after he's traded. So, that's, you know, not to go to a dark place, but, you know, still confident he's going to get it done, but it gets a little scary every year that we don't get it.
Steve, man, I totally get it. Thanks for the call. And yeah, of course, like, every year you go by. I mean, like, I had a point, too. If you had asked me 3-4 years ago, I mean, I thought all these guys were going to get Super Bowls. They were all, in quote-unquote, they were too talented.
Everyone would have their year. This time, you know, Lamar, this time it's Allen.
Yeah, the Chiefs couldn't be as dominant as they always were. I mentioned it yesterday. Like, I didn't think in 2020 they were going to necessarily be this, like, Michael Jordan-esque run that they seemingly are on. And yet here they are. And so, like, it is getting more and more stressful and worrisome that, like, every year goes by. And it also, it doesn't help that
he himself at times is not getting it done. You know, 13 seconds is one thing. Mm-hmm. He gave you the lead. Yeah. But as we've all kind of mentioned now, that was only the divisional route. He'd have to eventually – or he would have to get past a Bengals team that you did not match up well with. We found that out after –
the next year.
Yeah, the next year. But, I mean, oh, that would – it would have been a tough go, too, if all of a sudden like they do make that AFC Championship and they lost to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's painful that you keep losing to Kansas City, but we know, like, Cincinnati became kind of a bugaboo for them.
But if you had gotten a win over them that year, this would feel a little bit different. I don't think a lot different, but this would feel a little bit different.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the complete and utter domination it feels like that they're on, especially in the playoffs. It wouldn't feel like, I think, where many of us have gotten to, which is the regular season is meaningless. Why are we doing this? Like, it's
right.
It is just weeks where our players can get hurt. You know, we know we're going to be there in the playoffs.
Especially, why and that's kind of how last year felt.
Yeah,
especially
100%.
Because of the fact that you had your fifth and sixth string linebackers going up against the Chiefs last year. This year it wasn't nearly as bad injury-wise, of course. Obviously, we talked about it. You lose Christian Benford early in the game, which was very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, most of the game, you played clean. You didn't have any injuries. You didn't have anyone really missing. And ultimately, we find out afterwards, you know, Kincaid's been dealing with stuff all season long.
Yep.
But I just think that when you look at this rivalry as a whole, it's so difficult to look at from a record standpoint. Just because of the fact that if you take away the gravity of the games, it's pretty even because they're 5-5, I think, right? Or maybe 6-5 now.
I think it's 6-5 now.
But still, if you take away the gravity of the games, they're very even. But
yeah,
it's the importance of the game that makes it so uneven and so lopsided.
You know where the regular season wins feel hollow too? They're not getting the one seed.
Yeah, right. Especially this year. This year was one of the I think this year is more than most, right? Just because of the fact that you were the only team in the NFL to get up there and beat them, and you're kind of looking around like, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, especially because of all the late game.
There was the Broncos win. Sorry.
But even the Raiders game though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, snap the ball correctly. We're looking right. All right. There's a few games there where you're like, come on,
Isaiah Likely. I think that is shrink your feet.
Yeah, I think that is a big reason why a lot of these regular season wins have begun to really feel hollow. Is that you're not even getting the one seed. You're not even getting home field advantage. Yeah, you got them to come to your place last year because they were the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it didn't matter. You had no linebackers left. You know, and this is where we were talking about with the one seed. Home field advantage means a lot. Sure, it was also the rest aspect. You know, now looking back at it, Dalton Kincaid, bet he would have loved a little bit of rest for the knee, for the knees, because he also had fluid in the other one.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, but I think that's also become a frustrating aspect, too, that they are not getting the one seed, even when they do get the wins over them. And they're going to play them next year, and I think it's at home as well. I got to check now the 2025 opponents, but I believe it's at home. You got to see what you're going to do. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to continue to take your calls here until the top of the hour. We'll get you over to Sabres Live. As the Sabres are in action tonight, they take on Boston at 7 p.m. pregame coming up at 6. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.